All right, welcome to Double Fries No Slaw Wednesday night preview episode. First of November, Richie. I don't think either one of us had us being undefeated when we got to the month of November. Actually, I guess you did.
I did.
You did, but it comes with a caveat, and it has to do with this game here tonight, which is much different than we saw it going down in the offseason. Potentially, I guess you got to play the game. And so 3:30 on Saturday, the Noles will do just that. They take on Pittsburgh this weekend in a game that they're another multiple touchdown favorite in. Three score favorite, 21.5 right now. It's kind of moved around from 20 to 22 to 23 in places and settled at about 21.5 right now. So you're a three touchdown favorite on the road at Pitt, who's 2-6, 1-3 in the conference. Pretty pathetic year so far if we're just keeping it a buck. But Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. Richie, we'll talk more about Pitt in a minute. How's your week been?
Good, man. It's, you know, for the first time in years, I told my wife, we need to turn off Netflix, turn off the streaming, put it on ESPN Live on DirecTV because we are watching the college football playoff ranking show. And what a good feeling that was. And, you know, I didn't go nuts, but when I saw Washington at number 5, I just breathed a sigh of relief. And I'm like, man, this is what it feels like. It's been 10 years since we've felt like this before. And we were pissed off last time that we, you know, in 2014 when Florida State was debuted. I don't think we were number one on the first show. I think we're number three.
We're three, right?
Yeah. So, but just to be in the top four, knowing it's simple, win and you are in. And that's such a good feeling to have as a Florida State fan, TJ.
Probably even better to have that feeling and to know that you're probably going to be a double-digit favorite in just about every game that you play leading up to that. Like, Florida could be slightly under, Miami could be slightly under, but you're probably a two-score favorite, like, in every game leading up to it. Like, you will have to blow it. Like, it will not be like, oh, man, this team was a hard-fought battle and you lost. Like, you either go to the playoff or you blew a massive game, or well, it shouldn't have been a massive game, which is great. I mean, that's what you want. You want, you know, Florida State's still the most likely team to go undefeated the rest of the way. Has the easiest path. Now, they haven't had the easiest path, and we could certainly talk a little college football playoff rankings, but let's start with Pitt. A team that we really thought was going to be good this year and has been anything but good. They've really struggled. They had a nice win against Louisville, but, man, they just got absolutely drubbed this last week, lost by 51 points to Notre Dame. Their coach called him out a little bit, you know, tried to walk some of that back, but called him out a bit, saying that they didn't get the right guys out of the portal. Richie, you've got the quote right here. I'll go back as a football coach. You got a lot of good players from a year ago. You lose a lot of good players from a year ago. And then you think as a coach, you're going to replace them. And obviously we haven't. Again, it starts with me. I didn't do a good enough job coaching today. Put it on me. We've got to make plays. But yeah, this Pitt team could be on the verge of like some epic meltdowns, some transfer portal declarations, some quitting. Florida State's catching them at a good time.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the most telling thing, you saw Narduzzi try to save himself at the end there saying, you know, it starts with him. But there were several Pitt players who saw that quote on Twitter and quote tweeted it to show how upset they were with it. You know, that's not a good look if you're a head coach. And it was interesting in his Monday press conference. He tried to say, no, we had a team meeting Sunday night. It was all fine. Nothing. No big deal. We all knew what the situation was. Now, I think these players in the back of their mind are like, what the heck, coach? Like you basically said you replaced those players with not good enough players. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if Pitt has a strong start. I fully expect they'll try and fight. And, you know, we'll get to prediction at the end. We'll see what happens. But if Florida State comes out and starts strong, I think this is a game that could snowball quickly, which is exactly what you want heading into what will be a very physical rivalry game against Miami next week.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about every week, you know, the more you can get young guys reps and save reps, you know, with respect to Jordan, Jared Verse, Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, guys like that, the better off you're going to be long-term. And being fresher, you know, you're scheduled 12 games a year, right? And if things go the way that Florida State wants, they're going to play three more than that. And so at this point, they're already going to play one more because they're bowl eligible. But yeah, it is about the long grind into getting a couple of games late December, early January, and being fresh and ready to go there and not having to play every single snap of every single game and being able to get up on teams and being able to blow bad teams out when you get the opportunity. Florida State's done a good job of that for the most part. You might have liked to see it a little bit better in some situations, but you blew out LSU, you blew out Southern Miss, you blew out Virginia Tech, you blew out Syracuse, you blew out Duke, you blew out Wake Forest, and now you need to go do that again this weekend against Boston College and get some more young guys some work. So is there anything on this team that worries you? I don't mean to take them so lightly. We may not have the deepest pit coverage today, but again, we'll talk about the playoff rankings. We'll talk about Dabo. We'll talk about some other stuff. But what worries you the most about this Pitt team? Maybe is the best way to ask that.
I think that, you know, Pat Narduzzi is always going to have a physical football team. And for me, that's the biggest thing, because the number one thing I want out of this weekend is Florida State, you know, getting out of this weekend, getting out of Pittsburgh fully healthy or as healthy as can be, getting ready to take on Miami. Because again, I do think Miami's going to be a physical game. I think they're a tough opponent. I'm probably giving them more credit than almost anyone who covers Florida State the past few weeks, but I'm all eyes are on that game. And offensively, nothing scares me about Pitt at all. Like, and we're going to score predictions, but I just don't see any way they can outscore Florida State. Given Florida State scored 30 points in 14 straight games, it's probably going to happen again this week, but they are a physical team. They have a tight end, Gavin Bartholomew, who I really like him. And, you know, he's not got a lot of burn. To me, he's their best weapon on offense. And, you know, they're not targeting him. They're not using him. I don't know why. But just going back, looking at him, watching him play, he's a really good football player, but there's nothing. Again, injuries are the biggest thing I'm concerned about this weekend. If you get out of Pittsburgh healthy, that's a successful weekend. Even if you only don't cover the spread, say you win, 30-17, you know, I'm happy with that, because I don't want this to be a long drawn out game. I don't really care if it's a lot of possessions. Actually, you know, most games you want a lot when you're the better team. I'm fine with fewer possessions this game. I just get out of there healthy, and three games left, four games till the playoff potentially.
I like it. My guy Michael sent us a Venmo. You can do that and support the show down there at the bottom. We play a little super chat for him. Harlan, you got that?
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Those win. Those win.
He says, get your tailgate tickets, join the Battle's End and the Boosters. Go Noles. Listen, I've never been more thankful than to read a super chat where I was going to do some plug-in later, and you just let me kind of like plug a little bit earlier, Michael. So not only did you pay us to read the ads you were going to read anyway. You know, not that the Boosters or anybody's paying us. But yeah, tailgate tickets are on sale for the Miami game. So if you're watching this, if you're listening to it back, they're discounted this week. So on Monday, on game week, the price is going to go up to full price, but they are discounted this week. Go check them out. It's FSU, Miami, DFNS.eventbrite.com. Or you can just search Double Fresno Slaw on Eventbrite. And then, yeah, we always want to shout out the Boosters and the Battle's End. Make sure you're supporting there. He's not the only tight end, though, Richie, on the roster that's of note. Pitt's former quarterback, Fildrakovic, who Florida State saw last year, they saw the year before, both years at Boston College, is also a tight end now. Not that there's anything to worry about there, but when you've got your quarterback of like 4 years transferring to tight end or converting to tight end, maybe is a better word. Everything's transfer this year, are these years, but like thoughts on Jerkovic out there at the tight end position. Does that worry you much?
Not at all. but it is surprising because he's a guy that, you know, I personally thought was a really formidable quarterback when he was at BC, and now, you know, to be benched for a guy who threw less than 50% passing on 127 yards in Notre Dame last week. Christian Velu, I believe is how you pronounce it. Yeah, man, it's a little surprising, but he didn't just get benched. He got demoted straight to third team. Like Narduzzi said, we're done with this. He's like, this experiment is over. You're no longer a starter. You are now third team. That's got to hurt your feelings if you're Phil. But he doesn't worry me as a tight end at all. But it is surprising because he's a guy that I believe 2 years ago at Florida State, a little bit of trouble with his legs. He's a very good athlete. But, man, he just did not pan out at Pitt at all. And, you know, his position on the depth chart and change to the tight end room has kind of confirmed that. Yeah, it's just I don't want to laugh because I don't want to have too much fun at the expense of a college kid. But that's rough. That's rough, TJ.
He's really old, right? Like, I mean, yeah. He should have already graduated.
That's so true.
I don't feel that bad. I believe he's 23. So I'm not really giving him the college kid credit. No, a kid that was pretty good for BC at one point and then has just kind of fallen off. You know, it is a little bit unfortunate. I'll say this. The, you know, fortunately, we're pretty blessed with the positive side of the transfer portal. But the transfer portal is not all sunshine and roses. And as much as it is for FSU fans, this is a situation where the grass isn't always greener. Now, I don't necessarily know that he was going to be in it to win. I don't know what his situation was at BC, right? I don't know if he was going to win that job again or not. But it is a reminder that as good as Florida State's been in the transfer portal and as much as we love that thing because of what Mike Norvell's done there, it's not as sunshine and roses as maybe some people had wanted it to be, you know, and that stinks. So other side of the ball, Pitt's defense, not much better than the offense. Like the definition of okay, very average, middle third, they're 51st in S&P Plus. Richie mentioned them being physical. It's a Pat Narduzzi staple, certainly going to be you know, a team that gives a good amount of effort, at least to start the game. If you get up early, if you get to the half up 31-7 or whatever it was last week, I can't imagine that they're going to be coming storming back. I think you kind of both teams just run the clock out and try and get out fairly healthy. You know, I don't think Florida State needs a ton of style points or they don't need to win games 63-0. It's not the BCS. Like, they get up big. That's all that matters. Get out to Miami pretty healthy, especially since it's the committee now. But Richie, this game more about Florida State than it is about Pitt.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I think, you know, Florida State might have a slow first quarter. Maybe they're, you know, it's tied at 7 or 7-3 in the first quarter. But to your point, I think by halftime, this game is pretty much decided. And, you know, Narduzzi may give it one drive to start the second half in the third quarter. And then he just decides to pack it up. I just don't see this as a game that, you know, it should be that challenging for Florida State. Now you're on the road, you're in the cold. Luckily, we've had some cooler air in Tallahassee this week. So they're practicing in close to what they're going to play in. But yeah, their defense, again, they're physical, but they're just not that good. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that a defense that gave up 58 points to Notre Dame, who is, in my opinion, a solid team, but not a great offense by any means, 58 points. No, they're just not good. And I think Florida State's going to go in there and do what I expect them to do.
Yeah, focus on getting that lead, getting to the half, being up by as much as you can, be as efficient as you can. You're probably going to get, what, 5 or 6 possessions in the first half. 6 might be a little on the high side. You know, maybe 2 in the first quarter, unless, you know, you really do force 3 and outs pretty quickly or get turnovers. But yeah, if you can score on 4 of those possessions and get up 28-3 or 28-7 at half, and then you score on the other side of half to make that 35 or 38-7, I mean, you should be able to rest a lot of guys for the last, you know, whatever that'll be, 20 minutes of game time, the last 5 minutes of the third and 15 minutes of the fourth. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? And I think we've said this a lot, but Pitt, I mean, North Alabama is just a different level, but Pitt's going to be the easiest game you have left outside of North Alabama. And so, you know, do you take care of business and kind of mop up the floor with them and get out and get healthy and get to the Miami game? I mean, hopefully, I will tell you this, man, you know, not to jump too far ahead against Miami. I'm glad that they're playing at Raleigh a night game the week before they play us. I remember looking at it and saying, oh man, Pitt the weekend before we play Miami, like that kind of sucks. Not anymore. I mean, like, I am very thankful that we're not having to go play. And not that Pitt's not physical, but I'm very thankful we're not playing in Raleigh on Saturday night. You know, get home at a normal, decent time because you play at 3:30. I know Richie's pissed that we're not playing at noon, but Madso's happy, so everybody wins. But yeah, like get home at a decent time. I think it's, you know, I've tried to give grades out, you know, all year, but I truly do think, Richie, Florida State could play a C-minus game and still win this thing by 10 or so. I hate to be so bold and so cocky on that. I mean, they might even be able to play like a D-plus game. And as long as Pitt doesn't play their A-plus game, they might still be able to win it. So, I don't know. I feel good about where we're at this weekend. We'll do score predictions here in a minute. Hunter, thank you for the love, my man.
You a recruit, and you ain't going to Florida State. What are you doing?
Just keep winning. Go Noles with the Odin, the Tomahawk. You're supposed to say Tomahawk and the Fire. Appreciate you, Hunter. Hunter's in our Discord, and he pops in every once in a while, and he's got some zingers in there. You guys got to check Hunter out in the Discord. So, Shane.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Goal behind this game is similar to Wake. Minimize injuries. Just hope Miami and Florida lose this weekend, as we always do. Yeah, okay, Richie. More likely to lose this weekend. Spreads are similar, actually. I think Miami's like a 4-point favorite at NC State.
Yep.
And Florida's like a 6-point favorite at home against Arkansas. Okay, two questions. Who's more likely to lose? And if you could only have one of them lose, who would it be?
Same answer. Miami's more likely to lose, but I would prefer Miami to lose. Because we've seen Miami quit time and time again in November. When those losses start stacking up, this will be number three for Miami if they do lose up at NC State. Florida's pretty good at home. That's why I'm somewhat worried about that game. You know, I'm not going to troll anyone here. I think Florida at home is a different team than Florida away from Gainesville. But yeah, I think Miami, you know, is more likely to lose this week, but I'd rather see them lose than Florida.
So I'm going to go the opposite direction. I think that you are right that Miami is more likely to lose because it's on the road at Raleigh. I think Florida finds a way to win at the Swamp, but I would rather Florida lose because it will probably cost them a winning season. They play LSU next week.
Good
they
point.
Play Missouri yeah. the week after that, and then they play us. I think Miami squeaks out like another winner or two. Not that it's impossible, but Miami's already 6-2. If they win this weekend, maybe they get to 7-5 as opposed to 6-7. Like, it's just they're already bowl eligible. But if Florida loses, I think that's their bowl eligibility. Actually, check me on that, chat, because does that count for bowl eligibility? Maybe they only have 5 wins. I might change my answer if that's the case.
No, they get one FCS win, and then if they were to play a second FCS team, that would not count. So they
are bowl eligible then, because all the rest of their opponents are Division I. They played Temple. They played Miami of Ohio. They played Texas A&M as out of conference stuff. So they're bowl eligible already anyway. Give me Florida on that to miss a bowl. So go Razorbacks. We got any Razorbacks fans in here? I don't know if too many people tune in and watch that. So
let's go see Pittman, my guy.
Dude. Okay. So I just did a little prep for a little side project. They lost by 3 points to LSU, top 12 team, 3 points to Ole Miss, top 15 team. 7 points to Ole Miss, 3 points to Alabama, top 10 team, 4 points to Mississippi State, that's the stinker, 1 score to BYU. They're 2-5, but they've lost 5 one-score games, and 3 of them are to top 15 opponents. Like, you lose to Alabama and LSU by 3 points each. Like, if they play well, they could certainly go in there and upset Florida. I mean, I don't think I have to tell you anything that Florida scored one touchdown against Charlotte. But I do think that Arkansas is potentially a bit better than what their record shows. So, all right, what do you want to do next? Do you want to do our prize picks more or less? You want to talk about the play? You want to just go in order? Should I just go in order the outline that you sent me? Is that probably a good idea?
Yeah, we'll do prize picks, predictions, talk a little Dabo, and then a look around the college football.
All right, let's give Prize Picks some love. Prize Picks, make sure you guys are on the app. 130 people in here right now. Make sure you're using DFNS when you sign up for the Prize Picks app. If you already have an account and you can't use it again, use a different email. Sign up for a new account. Get the bonus again. Help us out. Don't tell them we told you that. You can pick more or less. You pair two people together. It can be in anything. You could take LeBron's more on points, and you can take Jordan Travis's more on rushing yards and pair those together. That's allowed. Whatever you want to do, you can pair any two players from any sports, any teams, doesn't matter. Make some money this weekend. Listen, against Pitt, I like the order of the under. I'm sorry, the less on Jordan Travis's interceptions. Again, I've made money on that like every week. One week I didn't do it was Duke. Thank the Lord they didn't offer it that week because I'd made money on it 3 weeks in a row. They didn't offer it against Duke, and they should have because they'd have got me. But Prize Picks app, make sure you use DFNS when you sign up. All right, Richie, let's go through these.
Yeah, so we'll start with Jordan Travis, obviously, 305.5 total yards. This one was a little tricky to me, even though I set these lines because Prize Picks is usually a little late. But I think I'm going to take more on this one. How about you?
I'm going to take more as well. I think that there's no need for them to style points it up, but I do think they want to get Jordan's stats as high up as they can for the campaign they're running. I think they'll air it out a little bit. Give me more. Harlan's got less though.
All right, I'll let you and Harlan go first on this one. Christian Ballou, 175.5 pass yards against Florida State's vaunted defense that allowed zero touchdown passes in the month of October.
Yeah, Harlan's going less. I'm doing the same thing here, and that's a really low number. So, and I think they're going to be down, so I think they're going to be passing a lot. So I don't feel great about this, but I'll go less on this as well as Harlan.
All right. Harlan, text up. I'm changing this to 165.5 because I would have gone less as well. Are you still less?
Harlan will go more there. I'll stay with less. I think I'm going to lose that one, but I'll just stick with it. Go Noles defense.
I'm going to go less as well. Pat Surtain was an amazing offseason hire, by the way.
And shout out Renardo Green, a Thorpe winner. Yeah, our Thorpe semifinalist. So, yeah, I'll stay with less, but I think Harlan's going to get that one.
All right. Keon, half a touchdown. I'm a Keon believer. Give me the more on this one.
Anyway, he can get it anyway.
Anyway, rushing, yeah, punch return, kick return.
Pick six.
He plays defensive back and yeah, gets a pick six. I don't care.
Harlan's got less. I'll go more on this one.
All right. So Mastromano, 1.5 punts in the first half.
I'm going to go less here. I'll say he has one. I'll say we go for it at least one time on fourth down. We go for it too much on fourth down for me to think that we'll punt it twice. Harlan's got more. What do you got?
Yeah, Harlan's got more. I got less as well. I just think we're in good shape there. The fifth one, Trey Benson, 99.5 yards total from scrimmage. So passing and receiving, he showed he can be a factor out of the backfield with 100 receiving yards last week. I think I'll go more here. Harlan says he's going more as well. How about you, TJ?
I'll go less. I think they really featured him a ton last week. Again, and I think the name of the game here is to try to feature, like, I think Benson's back, right? I think they know that he's back, and I think they're going to try and feature some other guys a little more. Keep the top line as healthy as you can. Let LT get some of those reps. Let Kaziah Holmes, Rodney Hill, others get in there and mix it up. So I'll go less on Benson.
All right, and last one, basically, does Patrick Payton get a sack or not? 0.5 sacks. I think I will go over here. I like Patrick Cajun here.
So Richie, Harlan and I got the same thing. We both got more as well. So you want to change this up some?
Put it to 1.5.
Say what?
Put it to 1.5.
I'll go less there.
I'll go more. I think Ooh. Patrick Payton has himself a game.
Let's go. I like that. Harlan's got less with me. So I like it. I hope you're right. I hope to be wrong there. I absolutely want to be wrong on that one.
I love me some Patrick Payton, man. That guy, that kid, if he had a typical, you know, a prototypical NFL defenseman frame, he would be a freak. He's just a little on the smaller side, but that kid can play some defensive end.
All right, so that's our prize picks, more or less. Let's save predictions for the very end. Talk to me about Dabo this week. Richie, what were your thoughts on Tyler from Spartanburg?
Yeah, Tyler from Spartanburg. It definitely had vibes from Mike from Tallahassee, the lawyer who, you know, questioned Jimbo about his loyalty. Honestly, I thought Dabo made some really good points about how the expectations that are at Clemson now were not the same before he got there. But at the same time, I thought it was a really bad look for Dabo. And if you're a recruit or a parent of a recruit, I wonder what they think. I don't know. I've not talked to any. I don't care to talk to any because I'm not trying to find out what 18-year-old kids think. But, man, it was just – it blew up the timeline. And, you know, him kind of going off and, you know, they both got into like a religious battle, which was – weird in many ways. I don't blame Dabo because I think the points he made were valid, but I do blame Dabo because you can't be the one to make those points. You need to let somebody else make those points for you. I wonder why he let that question go on for so long, because typically they would, you know, shut that down pretty quickly. It was just weird for that call-in show. But if Clemson beats Notre Dame, which I think they will, between all of us guys, Clemson's beating Notre Dame this weekend. Man, I hope he calls Tyler from Spartanburg back and says, hey, man, what do you think about this game? Because it was just a weird situation, but it definitely had Jimbo 2017 Florida State vibes.
Yeah, it was definitely strange. It also, I think, came out of nowhere. I mean, I know they've been bad this year, right? But like Jimbo in 2017, I had a couple conversations with folks, a couple of different folks that were kind of involved with all that was going on. Just, I saw Bud Elliott tweeted, you know, the kind of like timeline of all that stuff that happened in 2017 from that week. And so I went back and I listened to some of the old podcasts and some of the old shows of things that I had said, things that others had said. And man, you knew that Jimbo was leaving. Like you could just feel that something.
Yeah, we all knew it at that time. Yeah.
And so, like, that, I don't even know why they had that call-in show that Wednesday night. I mean, they still did it, maybe just contractually obligated to do it X number of weeks. And so, hey, you know, you might be leaving us, but you're going to sit there and do this because part of your contract, or you're going to have a breach of contract, and we're going to fire you. But anyway, I don't know why they even did that. But you knew that, like, tensions were high. That was the if you look back at the videos, that was the most packed call-in show that you've ever had, like we've ever had. There were more people at that than any other one that Jimbo ever did. And so you knew that like there was the chance of something like that happening. Whereas Tyler from Spartanburg, man, that just came out of nowhere. Like he was just like, hey, yeah, I'm going to light this place up with this question.
Shout out Tyler from Spartanburg, by the way. Dude,
Tyler. Okay. So yeah, I kind of agree with you. Tyler had some good points. He made them kind of like a jerk. Like I mean, Dabo's a clown, but I don't necessarily think he's a bad person. And so you don't have to degrade someone's humanity for 2.5 minutes to ask them why you're having a bad year.
I think it was the arrogance comment that kind of was over the line. I think it was in line until he said, you're arrogant,
basically. How many people that are truly great at things, Richie, are not arrogant?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm great at my job and I'm arrogant at it. So,
I mean, I'm not even great at what I do and I'm arrogant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that look at all the greats, Michael, Kobe, LeBron, Tom Brady, you know, like all the, everyone, Nick Saban, you know, Phil Jackson, any great is arrogant. So like, I get what he's saying, but like, nobody's ever told Michael Jordan pride goeth before a fall because he was prideful as heck and he still dunked over everybody.
Citing Bible verses on Dabo.
Yeah, he's quoting scripture. And I'm a Christian. Like, I'm totally good with quoting scripture. I'm like, come on, man. What are you doing?
After Dabo said he built his program in God's name and likeness.
Jesus' name and likeness. So, anyway, but yeah, I agree. They should have never let the call go on that long. Dabo shouldn't have really responded that way. Hey, man, there's, you know, he could have very, now Dabo's never going to do this, but Dabo basically went on a 5-minute rant about how great he is. And so Dabo should have just said like, hey man, there's some strong opinions there. you know, no need for you to attack me as a coach. I know that we stink on the field this year and we're going to try and get better. You know, like just.
Do you think he was ready for a call like that and kind of wanted it to happen? Because he rattled off all of his accolades like immediately, like he had them ready to go.
I don't know.
It almost seemed like he was ready for a question like that. And he kind of wanted that question to happen.
You think it was a plant maybe?
No, I don't think it was a plant at all.
That'd be amazing though.
I don't think that at all, but man, I think he was ready for it and he was prepared.
Cause yeah, again, like as a coach, like you just sit there and talk all day anyway. And so like, you kind of know, like, and so like, I mean, he also, maybe that's why I let him talk so much. Cause he was just like formulating, like when this MFer stops talking, I'm going to let him have it. You're going to kick me off the air.
We've all had conversations like that where someone's saying something and in the back of our mind, we're formulating like, oh, I'm going to bury you with these stats that I have that I'm thinking about. And then just drop them all like an atomic bomb. Maybe a little insensitive, but whatever. I don't know. It was just awkward, but it was awesome as a Florida State fan, knowing Clemson has been that team that has displanted you from the top of the ACC. And now Florida State is back atop the ACC where we belong. It was just hilarious to see. I wish I had watched it live because man, that was something to see.
So Dabo is absolutely hilarious with everything and how everything went down. But let's talk a little bit. College playoff rankings came out last night. Florida State number 4. I tried to have a hot take for this, but it's tough to have a hot take and be like, oh my gosh, we should absolutely be 3 or even 2. Like, okay, it is going to work itself out. But I will say the logic that the committee uses year after year, like, is always circular.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. It never lines up. You can't say, hey, 1 is our 1 because they have the best resume, and 2 and 3 are 2 and 3 because of their eye test, and then 4 has the second best resume. And so anyway, that's always kind of a load of BS, but like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, it was nice to tune in and know that we were going to be top 4, know that we were going to be one of the win and in teams. Know that there was a little bit of a gap, a distance between 4 and 5. And as long as Florida State takes care of business, they'll be good to go. But just overall thoughts on the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with them, but I have a problem with the logic. You know, if you're going to reward Ohio State so much, nobody thinks Ohio State's the best team in the country. Everyone thinks it's Georgia or Michigan. But Ohio State was rewarded for beating Notre Dame and Penn State. What is Penn State? We don't know yet. What is Notre Dame? Well, not great, or not elite, at least. So I thought it was weird you'd put Florida State at 4. What happens, you know, this weekend if, you know, one of these teams loses? I just don't know. It was weird, but all I cared about was Florida State in the top 4. Like I said at the top of the show, when they showed Washington at 5, I immediately knew Florida State was in the top 4. That's all I cared about. And quite frankly, TJ, if this were to hold true the rest of the season, I want Ohio State more than I want Georgia or Michigan in the first round. I think that's the best matchup for Florida State. So I'm not overly upset, but it's odd that you can tout Ohio State's resume and then not even mention Florida State's resume. In fact, the graphic on the screen they showed was Ohio State, Georgia, and Michigan and their resumes, but they wouldn't show Florida State because they knew they had the blowout win over LSU. It is what it is, but the good news as a Florida State fan, win out and you're in. And that's all I care about, and we have that in front of us. So I'm not going to get upset about it. Whoever we play, if we do get to the college football playoff, that's who we got to play. So I think the one thing is clear, that the only thing we should care about, if Florida State wins out, we are in the playoff. There's no question about that. You could have questioned that a little bit if the rankings turned out a little bit different yesterday. But no, Florida State is going to be in the college football playoff if they win their next 4 games. And that's all I care about. Control your own destiny. I hate to take a phrase from Jimbo, control what you can control. And I like where we stand right now.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these matchups this weekend, this playoff check-in. We could have some teams potentially eliminating themselves from contention. We've got a few elimination games. Texas hosting Kansas State, and I don't think Kansas State has any chance of getting in, but Texas needs to win out for sure. They're on the outside looking in, still in the top 10, but what are they ranked? Like seventh. They can't afford another loss. I just cannot envision a situation where a two-loss Big 12 champion gets in. So will Quinn Ewers be back? Will he play or not? What do you like in that Texas-Kansas State game this weekend?
I'm going with another Big 12 upset. I'm taking Kansas State.
I got to give you props.
I'm taking Kansas State over Texas. And to be fair, I did not say last week that Kansas was going to beat Oklahoma. I said take them on the spread. I should have taken them on the money line. So I'm mad at myself for that. But I do think Kansas State is a problem this week for Texas. And I think that plays out. I'm going to put a little bit on Kansas State money line.
Well, and you know, you hate to say this because we talked about it earlier, Florida State, any game that they would lose from here out, you'd say, hey man, that's a bad loss. But you know, bad losses happen. And so any team that's in and around, like any team that has one loss, you want them picking up that second loss. Like I'm good with it.
100%.
I want all the upsets.
100%.
Yeah. So I don't think Florida State loses any game left. Every game that we do predictions for the next 4 weeks after this, we're going to pick the Noles. I'm just telling you. But upsets happen. Crazy things happen in college football. And you want as much protection as you can get. So one loss Texas becomes two loss Texas.
They're out. They're gone.
That's one less team that you got to worry about jumping in there and maybe taking a spot from you. Now, here's a game where I won't apply that same logic. One loss Ole Miss goes and visits our good friend Jimbo Fisher. Give me Ole Miss to win that. I mean, I think they win. I'm not cheering for Jimbo anyway. I'm not really like hateful anymore, Richie. Like I don't have that still in me where I'm like, but I'm not going to like openly cheer for him unless they're playing like Florida or Miami. So give me Ole Miss to win that one. Ole Miss is going to have to play other teams later, Georgia, whatever. So they'll lose later on. It's fine.
Yeah. So it's like when you have that really hot girlfriend in college and then 10 years later you see her Facebook and she's gained like 50 pounds. Right. So that's what Jimbo is like, whatever. I don't care anymore. I was upset at the time when it happened, but I don't really care anymore. But I'm taking Jimbo to win this game. I think Jimbo goes into Oxford and beats Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is eliminated. So another team eliminated.
So they are, man, you're an upset king here. Now, I got Ole Miss winning that game. I could see it going either way, but I got Ole Miss winning. Next up. Okay. Maybe this is a hot take here. But I think this is also an elimination game because, okay, crazy enough, I don't think LSU is eliminated yet. I know it'd be crazy for a two-loss team to get in, but let me just tell you, if they were on the table and they beat Bama and then they beat Georgia, I think LSU has a chance to get out. I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying LSU's not eliminated yet. Is my point. They're the first team with two losses. And so you just said that Texas might find a way, you know, like, okay, what happens if this happens, Richie? A Big 12 champ has two losses. ACC's in. Big 10's in. You take an 11-1, say Michigan loses to Ohio State, 11-1 Michigan or a 12-2 LSU? 11-2 LSU, sorry. SEC champion LSU versus Michigan, who only lost one game but didn't win their conference championship. I think I'm putting LSU in there.
I think LSU's the better team, but I think Michigan gets in.
So I think the committee would lean more toward what have you done for me lately? How about them saying that our win against LSU doesn't matter because it was early in the year? So that's what I'm basing that on. So here's...
ridiculous.
Here's
just
a good
ridiculousness.
Question. Harlan just asked this. Does a 12-1 FSU get in over an 11-2 LSU? Both of them being champions of their conference.
Head to head. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. I think that'd be it. But Florida State would have a bad loss somewhere at the end of the year. And
any loss at this point would be a bad loss.
Yeah. So say it's to Florida. You'd actually probably prefer it to be to Miami so that you have more time to, like, you know, come back from it. But yeah, like that'd be.
What about this, TJ? If we're just spitballing here, What if Florida State is 12-0 in the ACC title game and they lose to 11-1 Louisville? Do they get the nod over Louisville?
If both teams have one loss,
they're both 12-1 at that point, but Louisville has the conference title.
I think you got to give it to conference champion, and you got to hope that Florida State can find a way to sneak in at fourth.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely, in my opinion.
Yeah, very. But
yeah, I think you got to give it to the conference champion.
How cool is this to just have this conversation?
Yeah, this is not real life, so it doesn't matter. Washington, USC. Listen, I think USC is a dumpster fire, but for some reason, they're only a 3-point dog against Washington, and Washington has not looked good the last couple of weeks. USC's gotten a lot of crap for how they looked against Stanford. Washington wasn't very good in that game either. In fact, needed kind of a miracle from the refs to be able to win it. Do you want to go with one more upset? You think USC can knock Washington out of this thing?
I'll take USC at home here. Washington, they probably should have lost one of the last two games. Caleb Williams is still going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. People love him, hate him for whatever reason. I don't care. He's a college kid. I think he's a phenomenal player. I'm taking USC here. I might do a underdog parlay money line just to see, you know, if I can just throw money away or just, you know, pay myself for a nice steak dinner down the line.
Penn State, I think Washington wins, but it's close. So we'll see. I'd love to be wrong there. Let's get rid of Washington while we're at it. Penn State and Maryland. Penn State is an 8.5-point favorite. Maryland with a bad loss last week. I don't think Penn State's very good, and I could see Maryland rebounding here. But in my opinion, I think Penn State's kind of out of it anyway. They're not out of it yet technically, but they play Michigan next week, and so they will be out of it officially. Yeah. Then. So Penn State, Maryland, I don't know. I don't have a real strong take on this one.
I think I'm with you here that Penn State wins. Yeah, I just think Maryland's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and I think Penn State wins somewhat convincingly, actually.
Missouri and Georgia. This is a fun one, but every time like it starts to get trendy that Georgia might lose a game, they end up blowing the other team out. It did that with Kentucky. It did that with Florida. I think that Missouri's better than both of those teams. Playing better right now is maybe the best way to say that. I think Missouri's going to blow Florida out. They already kind of had their way with Kentucky, winning by 3 scores. Is there any chance? I mean, Georgia's a 15.5-point favorite. Is there any chance that they can find a way to win this?
If this was in Columbia, I might really consider taking Mizzou. I just think being between the hedges, Georgia's going to win, but I'm probably betting Missouri on the spread. I just think Missouri's good. People don't realize that. If they haven't, shame on them. But I think they're a solid team, but they're not ready to beat Georgia. Kirby Smart is a master manipulator, much like Urban Meyer was, making his team think they're underdogs when they're really not. Georgia wins, Missouri covers.
All right, here's one more in the ACC. I guess Louisville has some playoff chances, being number 13 or only having one loss. But Virginia Tech at Louisville this weekend. ESPN says that Louisville has a 78% chance to win, and Louisville's a pretty decent favorite in this game as well. You have any thoughts that Virginia Tech could potentially pull off the upset this weekend?
If this game was in Blacksburg, I would pick Virginia Tech. I just don't see it happening in Louisville. I think Louisville wins this game. And basically, you know, by Sunday morning, we all know it's going to be Florida State versus Louisville in Charlotte for the ACC championship. I'll be there. I think you'll be there, TJ. And I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. Although if Virginia Tech can find a way to win, they are 3-1 in the ACC. They'll move to 4-1. They'll have the tiebreaker. And so they would have to lose 2 more games of their last 3, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's true.
So if they can find a way to get the upset, they play at BC, then they play NC State at home. I don't think NC State is great, but you certainly rather play them at home as opposed to going to Carter-Finley. And they play at Virginia to end it, the rivalry game at the end of the year. So as long as they could win 2 of those games down the stretch, they'd have a really good chance of making and playing in the ACC championship. So I will be cheering for Virginia Tech. I'd very much like that rematch. So bring it on.
Yes. I like the way that game went.
I don't think it happens, but that's the way I'd like to see it happen. All right, last one. You got NC State winning this weekend as a slight dog. Sorry, it's on me. You have Miami dropping to NC State this weekend on the road at Carter-Finley?
Yeah, I do. I think Tyler Van Dyke is not the same quarterback he was the first, you know, 3-4 weeks of the season.
When they were playing like I can't make that joke anymore. It's 2023. When they were playing bad competition.
Yeah. So I've just, and maybe it's just my, FSU fan seeing FSU lose so many heartbreaks in Raleigh at the Piss Palace. I think North Carolina State beats Miami. And if they do, Miami's on blowout alert next week. But if
Miami, they're on that anyway.
But if Miami does win, no, I think if Miami wins, it could be a dogfight in Tallahassee. We'll see what happens. But I think Miami loses this week at NC State. How about you?
Yeah, I've got, I don't know. I'm not very confident in NC State. That's my big holdup with this one. I think Miami stinks. Sorry, Hunter, but I think NC State stinks just as bad. I mean, they're not good. They did just beat Clemson. They are 5-3. They found a way in a couple of games. And they got demolished by Duke. They got trounced by Notre Dame. Played a close one against Louisville, I will say. They are much better at home, so I'll give them that. Yeah, okay, I'm with you. They'll beat Miami. Sorry, Canes, that you're out. We'll probably end up with a noon game next week due to that. Richie, is Carter-Finley a nightmare house for other people too, or is that just us?
I don't pay attention to know enough, but to be honest. But for us, it definitely is, and it's annoying because we've gone out there with better teams many times in the 35 years I've been alive and lost that game. But yeah, man, it's a pain when people are throwing water bottles full of piss at you on the sideline. That's an issue, but it is what it is. And again, throw all the urine you want, NC State fans, at Miami this weekend.
Yeah, give me them. Somebody asked about an ACC championship game tailgate. Yes, I am working on that right now, trying to get through the Miami tailgate and then maybe have something for the UF game as well. Richie, you going to that? I know Harlan's going. You going to the UF game?
I'm not sure about UF. I'll definitely be in Charlotte. I already got the Airbnb booked. Playing golf Friday morning in Charlotte if anybody wants to play some golf. And then I'll be at the game Saturday.
So, yeah, we'll do something in Charlotte for sure. I just don't know what yet. I don't know where. I'm working on that, all that now. So stay tuned. All that said, the Miami tailgate tickets, again, on sale right now. Link will be in the description after the show. If it's not there right now, I can't remember if I put it in or not. But make sure that you get your tickets. They're discounted this week. Also, if you're trying to win tickets to the Miami game, we're giving two away through Knapp Injury Law. You can go to knappinjurylaw.com/ticket giveaway. Throw that in the description as well. You can win tickets. Hey, I've heard a good number of you have registered. A crap ton of you have clicked on the link and then not registered. All you have to do is put your name, phone number, and email in there, and that's just so we can contact you. You don't have to put anything else personal in there. You must be 18 or older to win. Make sure you go to knappinjurylaw.com/ticket giveaway to enter to win a couple of tickets to the Miami Florida State game. We'll announce the winner for that on our 6 p.m. live show on Sunday after the Noles get to 9-0 against BC this weekend. Richie, if the Noles win this game this weekend, they are 15-0 in their last 15 games. Yeah. I know that it doesn't include, it's the end of one season, it's the beginning of another, but there are some pretty special wins in there. Wins against both rivals, win on the road at Clemson. You've got a win against LSU in there. You're 2-0 against the SEC. You beat an Oklahoma team that's only lost one time since then, a 7-1 Oklahoma team. You've also downed every ACC opponent that you've played. it doesn't really mean anything because it's not the goals that you had set out, but it will be kind of cool to look back. And if the Noles have won 15 games in a row, know that they literally just basically completed an undefeated season from one point in time to another. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I'm planning on, so assuming we win, I mean, anybody in here that wants to join me is more than welcome to do this. I spoke with some people today. This is not going to be an official thing, but if the Noles win their 15th game in a row, I am going to donate $15 to the Battle's End. We have 150 people in here watching this right now, and it'd be pretty cool if all 150 of us donated $15 to the Battle's End after we get our 15th win in a row. So, Richie, again, I know it's going to be nicer to have a 15-game winning streak that starts with LSU and ends with, hopefully, Georgia, but pretty cool if we can run off that many in a row.
Yeah, no, it just shows where this program has gone because, you know, just 2 years ago, we were 0-4, just lost to Jacksonville State, needed a miracle to beat Syracuse, and now all of a sudden, we are at a point where we have won 15 games in a row, which in theory is a national championship season. Man, it's just great to be where you are. And if you're a Florida State fan, don't take this for granted, because I took this for granted in 2013 and large parts of 2014. But man, this is special. What Mike has done is amazing. We hired the right guy this time, and I just love where we're at as a program, and I love where we're at as a fan base. And this is a great place to be.
Richie, any shout outs before we get out of here?
Yeah, shout out my buddy Pat. I'm going to his wedding Friday down in West Palm Beach. He actually got married in 2020, but he lives in D.C., Washington, D.C. So he had his wedding canceled by the venue like three times because of COVID. So he's finally having his official wedding. I'm really excited. We're heading down there tomorrow after work. So shout out to Pat and Caitlin. Amazing couple. Love them both. And looking forward to getting, I appreciate them getting married on a Friday because I can drive back Saturday morning and watch the Florida State game from the couch at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Priorities, 100% on.
Oh, score predictions, CJ.
Oh yeah, we almost missed that. I'll give my shout out and then we'll do score predictions. Shout out to Garnet & Gold. Use the code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, and the Gramco. You can use code TJ25 at checkout. Also to Bob Knight. I saw Bob Knight died while they announced that just as we were going live tonight. So, passed away today. Just an absolute legend. I still loved watching, him commentate with ESPN and stuff here in the last couple of years.
The best throat chair of anybody.
Oh, of all time. So 83 years old. I mean, he lived a fairly long life. I mean, that's a little over the national average, but still sad. Absolute legend, stinks. And so prayers up to his family. Harlan's got us with 48-17. I had to check and make sure that he picked FSU. I remember in the beginning of the year, he picked all our opponents. So 48-17, Harlan. Richie, what you got?
Yeah, so if you listen to our preview show before the season, this was the game I had us losing. Mm-hmm. Nah, we ain't losing, y'all. But I do think it'll be closer than the spread suggests. I'm going to say something like 34-17 Florida State, but the game never in doubt, really. You know, basically like a 34-10, Pitt scores a late touchdown. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think Florida State, I'd be pretty shocked if they don't get in the 40s on this one. I believe the streak is up to 14 games in a row that they've gone 30 or more. Yep. I would be flabbergasted if they didn't get in the 30s.
They will.
But yeah, I'll go 45. What'd you pick, Harlan? I don't want to pick the same score as you. I already forgot it 45 seconds later. 48-17. All right, I'll go 45-10. 45-10 FSU. Defense shows up, shows out. Pitt's horrible offensively. 10 might even be a little generous. So 45-10, another blowout. Noles get out healthy. And it's FMFFM week. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We dropped a video earlier today. Harlan, what was that on? The playoffs. Yeah, I went on a rant about the playoffs. We got another video coming tomorrow morning about Jordan Travis and the Heisman. So make sure you're subscribed. You don't miss any of those. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. See you when the Noles are 9-0.